上一节课我们方式稍微改变了一下，因为有几个外国面孔，所以我就讲得快了一点，然后内容也多了一些。上次讲的还有什么问题吗？小陈还有什么问题吗？没有问题的话，我们就继续讲。上次我们讲了国际货币基金组织的一些基本的功能，它做什么，以及国际货币基金组织围绕着国际货币基金组织的投票权呐、它自己的它的那个的份额的分配啊，以及它本身的它的管理体制，它的 governance structure，我们讲了不仅仅它的规则本身，还有它规则背后的一些政治经济问题。那么我们再继续在今天继续把这一部分讲完。那么还有一个 MF surveillance，那 MF surveillance is another very important function of the IMF. The IMF is in charge of monitoring the economic and the financial policy of member states. The IMF can ask the member states to report to IMF can ask the member states to report and to disclose key economic information, economic indicators under the surveillance mechanism. So every year the IMF, one of the very important job of the IMF is to send a delegation to the capital of the member states to discuss with them the economic progress in this country and whether economic policies, financial policies adopted by those countries are appropriate according to the IMF, the IMF standards. If you follow up the news, you will see that every year the IMF will publish a report on China, right, on China every year report on under article, the so-called Article 4 consultation. So surveillance is a very important function of the IMF, and it requires tremendous resources. See, just imagine this: the IMF has to have a consultation surveillance with every member state, 186 member state, right? For every member state, if you assume you need three staff. In three stuff, you can do a basic math to figure out how many staff are needed. So that's no wonder the IMF is on deficit. Is on deficit because that it's a very costly process. The legal basis of the surveillance is Article 4. Article 4 of the Articles of Agreement, the IMF Articles of Agreement is an international convention, an international treaty with fully legally binding force. Right? It's a treaty. It's an international convention. So the Article 4 entitles the IMF to discuss with member states, and the member states undertake to collaborate with the IMF and with one another for the purpose of promoting the stability of the global financial system, especially the exchange rate system. But whether this surveillance system is effective is another question every year. For example, the IMF has been asked to discuss China's exchange rate policy for a number of years, and the U.S. and other countries wanted to persuade the IMF to publish a report to condemn China, but the IMF has never done so because this is a very sensitive issue. The IMF needs country collaboration, needs countries cooperation. If it offends China, then China will stop cooperating with the IMF. That's what happened in 2007. The IMF indicated that the IMF executive board passed a resolution to the effect that manipulation of a currency, the IMF, if a country manipulates its currency, the IMF will do something to stop it. And China immediately stopped its annual consultation with the IMF. So Beijing would no longer accept IMF consultation for 2 years. So the consultation stopped for 2 years. So the IMF and China here is actually playing power politics rather than rule of law. But big countries can afford it, So that's the surveillance. The surveillance system not very effective. Although the reports are very valuable for academic purpose. The few words about the IMF rules on exchange controls. We need to do a bit legal analysis here. Article 8 of the IMF Articles of Association of Agreement prohibits member states from imposing restrictions on under current account, and we already know what is current account. So you cannot. No member states shall impose restrictions on the making of payments and the transfers for current account transactions. Section three prohibits member states from practicing multiple currency discriminatory currency practices. Let's start. These are two very important legal obligations. Let's take a look at Article 8, Section 2 first. Check Section 2 first. What does paragraph A mean? Then what does it mean? What does it mean in practice? You just can't do it. It's wrong to do it. What is making of payments and the transfer for current international transactions? What could be the restrictions? And you said one of the examples could be the government limits the transfer of currencies. Transfer of currencies? Do you mean that? Or transfer of money, right? Currency means the paper money. Right? One example, China notified its acceptance of Article 8. Right? So China accepted Article 8 obligation in 1996. So from 1996, before that, current account transactions, foreign exchange, under current accounts were controlled, were strictly controlled. You need government approval. You need government approval. For example, if an enterprise wants to buy something from foreign country, and that's import, right? And for that, you need a foreign currency, you need a US dollar, you need the British sterling pound, and can you get it? You can't get it. And if you ask the government to sell the foreign currency to you, the government will say, no, we don't have money, we have a limit. For every enterprise, every year, we only sell maybe 30,000 renminbi, 30,000 US dollar. If your import, if the volume of the import, if the value of the import is more than that, then you wouldn't get it. And for China's acceptance of this, of Article 8 obligations from 1996, what would happen? Can you give us a few examples?
As far as I know, one of my younger cousins, she got a chance to go abroad for studying Japan. About in 2005, and every year, her mom can send the Japanese yen to her. And I find it without any restriction. I thought this is the obligation of Chinese government to offer the foreign currency for her mother to support her to support my younger cousin
in Japan.
In Japan.
So you mean the mother could purchase as much as she wants? As much as Japanese
yen. No. But the value, the volume of the currency is enough to support her doctor.
How much is enough? How enough is enough?
Okay, I find is about 3 million Japanese yen.
3 million Japanese yen. 3 million Japanese yen.
Three million
Japanese yen. That's how much is that? That's over. That's roughly $30,000.
Yeah.
$30,000. And is that enough if you buy a Mercedes Benz? if the daughter wants to buy a Benz, buy a Bentley. If she wants to live in a very comfortable apartment, $30,000 is far from being enough, right? And so they can, by accepting the obligations, what China did was China accepted the obligation of Article 8, and China undertakes to refrain from imposing restrictions on the making of payments and the transfers for the current international transactions from engaging in discriminatory currency arrangements. Let's start with the current account transactions. What this means is, number one, any current account transaction, the government wouldn't limit the amount of currency purchased by the importer. If a Chinese importer wants to buy something from the U.S., as long as that's a legal transaction, there's no limit at all. There's no limit. Please.
I would never oppose this because I'm in charge of this foreign export affairs. So analyze we have to DTU, to sign a contract with a foreign teacher.
Okay. But how could you purchase? How could you? What's that again? What's that? Current account. Does that belong? How do you? When? Why you believe that belongs to current account transactions?
Because we serve as a staff in XDTU, and XDTU will sign contract with the contract and with the sanction on the foreign exporter or Chinese product.
That's a contract for what?
Contract for work.
For work. That's not current account transaction, right? Mm-hmm. Is that current account transaction? A current account transaction, we are talking about trading in goods and services.
Services.
The profit from you can consider that services. That's salary actually. That's a salary. That is salary. That's a bit sensitive. Let's we will get to your example later, but let's to clarify, to understand how this works. Let's assume this is a trading in goods, right? Sale of goods. If you want to buy, let's say China want to buy what does the US sell to us? For example, if you are allowed to buy airplane from the US, to buy airplane for the U.S., this is a legal transaction. Even individuals can buy airplane from the U.S., right? Zhou Bengshan has done that. You can buy airplane from a foreign country. This is a sale of goods, right? Sale of goods. Then, if the transaction is a legal transaction with the invoice, right? You make an order, then the foreign party, the foreign seller, will issue an invoice. With this invoice, you can go to the commercial bank, and the commercial bank will ask you. Commercial bank normally will not sell you the foreign currency directly, the commercial bank will ask you to register with the foreign exchange administration. And the foreign exchange administration, this is not approval, this is an foreign exchange registration only. As long as this is a lawful transaction, then no matter how much it is, as long as it is needed, the commercial bank will sell. The commercial bank is obligated to sell the amount to you. So with the invoice, the commercial bank will give you the invoiced amount of money. So no limit in this sense. No limit in this sense. What you're talking about is actually a very, might be a special case, because it involves immigration and the salary and the hiring of foreigners. We need to check the details at the details in the law of the in the laws on foreign exchange. But what the current account transactions we are talking about here is very much the trade in goods and services, and in goods and services. For that, there is no limit at all. And under Article 8, a government cannot impose restrictions here in this regard. And the obligation goes beyond that. Obligation goes beyond that. Right? Assuming a government. Assuming a central bank, right? A central bank, through current account transactions, has accumulated a huge amount of foreign currency. Let's say the Chinese yuan, right? Renminbi is used in many places, and the Chinese yuan is used now. China has allowed renminbi to be used as the denomination money for international trading in goods, right? And assuming a foreign government, let's say South Korean government, right? The South Korean government has accumulated, through international trading in goods, has accumulated a huge amount of renminbi, right? And under Article 8, Paragraph 2, South Korea government is entitled to give back the renminbi to the Chinese government, the People's Bank of China. And the People's Bank of China has the obligation to give the South Korean bank either its own currency or a hard currency or gold, or SDR. So this is the second obligation. The government, once you undertakes Article 8, Paragraph 2, you have to, whenever it is needed, whenever it is presented, you have to purchase back your own currency. That's actually a more significant obligation under Article 2, under Article 8, Paragraph 2. So this is a paragraph with very rich message there. It's very, and with a number of obligations there. So China has undertaken to do this, and China can no longer impose. And this actually, after the People's Bank of China and the Foreign Exchange Administration have passed a number of laws to implement this, according to the end. There is definitely no restriction on current account transactions in China under the law. The laws are very clear. Your case, we can talk about. I need to know the details. But as long as it is a current account transaction, it is illegal for the government to impose transactions. But what you need to do is to present the documents, and you have to prove to and it must be real documents. It cannot be fake documents, falsified documents. And the foreign exchange, the commercial banks and the foreign exchange administration are very careful in examining, in inspecting the documents. This was a very decent business fraud, so people can conduct financial fraud.